We've been worshiping Jesus, the living word. And now I invite you to turn to the written word where we will meet the Lord Jesus also. Continuing our sermon series in the book of the Minor Prophets, we're in the book of Hosea. And we'll first look at Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11, if you're using the blue Bible in the pew rack in front of you, you will find it on page 642. Hosea chapter 11. Now, this was on Facebook, and I thought it was kind of cute and rather appropriate for the sermon this morning. The heading at the top of the article said, "Lawyers should never ask a Georgia grandmother a question if they are not prepared for the answer." So keep that in mind. Lawyers should never ask a Georgia grandmother a question if they are not prepared for the answer. This is what the article said. In a courtroom trial, a southern small town prosecuting attorney called his first witness, a grandmotherly, elderly woman, to the stand. He approached her and asked, "Mrs. Jones, do you know me?" She responded, "Why, yes, I do know you, Mr. Williams. I've known you since you were a boy. And frankly, you've been a big disappointment to me. You lie. You cheat on your wife. And you manipulate people and talk about them behind their backs. You think you're a big shot when you haven't the brains to realize you'll never amount to anything more than a two-bit paper pusher. Yes, I know you." The lawyer was stunned. Not knowing what else to do, he pointed across the room and asked, "Mrs. Jones, do you know the defense attorney?" She again replied, "Why, yes, I do. I've known Mr. Bradley since he was a youngster, too. He's lazy, bigoted, and he has a drinking problem. He can't build a normal relationship with anyone. And his law practice is one of the worst in the entire state. Not to mention he cheated on his wife with three different women. One of them was your wife. Yes, I know him." The defense attorney nearly died. The judge then quickly asked both lawyers to approach the bench and, in a very quiet voice, said, "If either of you idiots asks her if she knows me, I'll send you to the electric chair." Yes, grandmothers know a lot about people, do they not? But our great God knows even more about us. Psalm 139, "Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." And so, if God knows all about us, if God always knows where we are and what we are thinking, and even what we are going to say before we say it, why do we think that we can get away with doing things that displease him? Why do we think we can sin and think God is not going to notice? And yet, look at Hosea chapter 11, verse 7. "My people are bent on backsliding from me." My people are bent on backsliding from me. And that word backsliding or backslider occurs 17 times in the New King James Version of the Bible, once in Proverbs, once in Isaiah, 13 times in Jeremiah, and twice here in the book of Hosea. Backsliding. What is backsliding? According to Wikipedia, backsliding, also known as falling away, is a term used within Christianity to describe a process by which an individual who is converted to Christianity reverts to pre-conversion habits and or lapses or falls into sin. When a person turns from God to pursue their own desire. That's actually a very good definition of backsliding. Now, before we go any further, I want to take a moment to acknowledge that the book of Hosea is a very difficult book to read, a very difficult book to understand. Recently, just within the last couple of months, I have read through this book at least 24 times. I have listened to an audio recording of Hosea at least 35 times just while driving in my car. I have consulted almost 40 different commentaries. And yet, after all of that reading and listening and studying, I'm having a tough time writing sermons based on this particular book. Part of the reason has to do with the book itself. One Bible scholar in his commentary put it this way, and I quote, "Hosea contains possibly the most difficult Hebrew in the Bible," although many scholars would give that distinction to the book of Job. "Hosea is frequently elliptical," that is not understandable, "at times apparently ungrammatical, and often contains passing allusions to historical incidents and other texts of the Bible that are almost bewildering. Its logic is sometimes paradoxical. It also contains a fairly high number of obscure or rare Hebrew words, the meanings of which scholars must struggle to recover." And so if you've been reading through Hosea, as I have been, figuring out where one passage ends and another passage begins is sometimes difficult to determine. Hosea has a fairly rapid and almost unpredictable shift in person, in subject matter, in tone, even from one verse to the next. Within these pages are a maze of warnings and poems and laments and mixed metaphors with seemingly random changes in topics. But even though it may lack what we might consider to be a more obvious and systematic arrangement of material, one of the messages that comes through loud and clear through this book is God's longing, God's desire for His people to return to Him. Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. "O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips." And that phrase, return, or turn back, can be found 23 times in this short little book. 23 times. The people obviously had wandered far from God and from the Word of God. Earlier in the book, in Hosea chapter 4, he accused them of swearing, lying, killing, stealing, and committing adultery. That's 5 of the 10 commandments being disregarded right there. Swearing, lying, killing, stealing, committing adultery. Later in the book, he blasts them for their religious hypocrisy. He confronts them regarding their social injustice. And he rebukes them for relying on foreign powers instead of relying on the Lord their God. In a word, they were backslidden. They were backslidden. And the prophet Jeremiah used that term, backsliding or backslider, the most in the Bible. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 6, the prophet said, "Therefore a lion from the forest shall slay them. A wolf of the desert shall destroy them. a leopard will watch over their cities. Everyone who goes out from there shall be torn in pieces because their transgressions are many. Their backslidings have increased. So, I need to ask you this morning, where are you at in terms of your relationship with the Lord right now? Where are you at? Is everything good between you and our great God? Or, if you were honest, are there some unconfessed sins that are hindering your relationship with the Lord right now? Would it be more accurate to describe you as a backslider and not as a fully devoted follower of Jesus? If so, I actually have some good news for you this morning. If you are in a backslidden state, I have some great news for you. You do not have to remain there any longer. You can be set free. You can be delivered from your sin and fully forgiven. How is that possible? One of the greatest verses in the Bible, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive and will forgive us our sins and purify us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Absolutely amazing. If we confess, God forgives. If we repent, God restores. If we return, God welcomes us always with arms open wide. Hosea chapter 14. Verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. Verse 7, those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall be revived like grain and grow like a vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. As I said just moments ago, Hosea, as a book, is sometimes difficult to read and difficult to understand. But it is still a great book to study and to apply. The New American Commentary adds this, and I quote, "It is a book that jolts the reader. It refuses to be domesticated and made conventional. It does comfort the afflicted, but it most surely afflicts the comfortable. It is as startling in its presentation of sin as it is surprising in its stubborn certainty of grace. It is a book to be experienced, and the experience is with God." I love that second last sentence. It is as startling in its presentation of sin as it is surprising in its stubborn certainty of grace. Have you experienced the stubborn certainty of God's grace? You can. Confess your sins to the Lord right now. And he has promised to forgive us of every last one of them. Repent of your backsliding right now. And God will restore you to a position of favor with Him. Return to the Lord right now. And He will most certainly welcome you back with arms open.